Yeah.
Thank you all for joining us, Seth. Have a great day.
You too.
Have a good one out there, everybody. Stick around for Morning Magazine coming up here at WFHR, locally grown radio.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. It won't be long now until Florida Governor Ron DeSantis makes it official and announces he's running for the Republican nomination for president. Correspondent Ed O'Keefe has our top story from Washington.
Two sources close to Governor DeSantis tell CBS News his official filing as a candidate is now set to come next week. The decision to file the paperwork is set to coincide with plans to meet with some of the governor's longtime donors at a hotel in Miami. They're expected to be briefed on plans for the forthcoming campaign and requests that they start help raising big money for the bid.
They're banning a popular app in Montana. Republican Governor Greg Gianforte signed a bill prohibiting new downloads of TikTok over concerns China is using it to spy on Americans. CBS's Nancy Chen.
Montana's government says TikTok, as well as the Google and Apple-run app stores, could face penalties of $10,000 per violation, as well as another $10,000 for each day that violation continues.
But industry experts say app stores don't currently have the ability to block downloads on a state-by-state basis. In Hiroshima, Japan this morning.
Well, Mr. President, it's wonderful to see you again. Here in your own hometown.
President Biden met with Prime Minister Fumio Kishida. The two leaders agreed to continue sanctions against Russia and support Ukraine. Back home in the U.S., negotiators continue to strategize on ways to fend off a federal debt default. New signs Russia's war on Ukraine isn't going well for Moscow. Pentagon correspondent Cammy McCormick.
In an intelligence update from the British government, a statement says Russia is now likely banning senior military officials from resigning. That order also extends to security officials and even members of President Vladimir Putin's government. Many, this statement says, are skeptical about the war, but if they choose to leave, they could face trumped-up charges.
Uber is unveiling something new, rides tailored specifically for teenagers. CEO Dara Khosrowshahi tells CBS Mornings.
This is an account that parents can create for their teens. They can invite teens to the account, and it's got safety built in from the start to the finish.
He says Uber will also offer options for car seats for parents traveling with younger children. And there's a new group grocery feature that makes it easier to split the cost of a ride. It was filled with poignance and pageantry. Now the British government has tallied up the cost of Queen Elizabeth's state funeral and all the trimmings. The estimate, the equivalent of $204 million. The Dow's down 129. This is CBS News.
Need to hire quality candidates fast? You need Indeed. Their powerful hiring platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Imagine getting ahead of your irritable bowel syndrome with constipation or IBS-C by treating it with Linzess. Then you could start proactively managing your constipation with belly pain and get ahead of your symptoms. Talk to your doctor about Linzess, linaclotide. Linzess is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. It's not a laxative. It's a once-daily pill that helps you get ahead of your symptoms. It's proven to help you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually.
Do not give Linzess to children less than 2. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling.
Imagine what could relief from IBS-C mean for you. Talk to your doctor and say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS.
Put a frog in a pot of boiling water and it'll jump right out. But put a frog in a pot of cool water and slowly heat it up, that frog will boil. As a metaphor for us and all that we go through as veterans, it's a story that rings true. We learn to endure the heat in silence. We apply what we learn to life, the bills, the job, the family, things we're expected to handle with ease. When life heats up around us, we just try to stay afloat. We let the water boil. Reaching out isn't easy, but you've never been interested in easy. You join because you are not afraid of hard work. You are not a frog. If you or a veteran you know needs support,
Don't wait until the water boils. Reach out. Find resources at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach. Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Slight chance for scattered thunderstorms this afternoon. Otherwise, cloudy skies expected. High temperatures reach up to 74. South winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Isolated thunderstorms likely tonight. Lows dip down to about 50. Cloudy skies expected. Cloudy skies expected again tomorrow. Highs level off around 60. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 53.
Good morning. You're listening to Central Wisconsin's 24-hour information station, WFHR. It's time now for the Morning Magazine.
Welcome, everyone, to Morning Magazine for this 18th of May, 2023. 10:05 on the clock, and you have your host, James J. Mayloff, here. At 10:30, we're going to talk with Allison John Jack, Cranberry Outreach Specialist with UW-Madison Extension Wood County. Looking forward to talk with Allison. Right now, we have with us in studio, Jillian Alekna.
Yay! You got it.
It only took me about four or five times you being in the studio. Jillian, thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Always love talking with our friends at Visit Rome, which is what we're going to do right now. We want to send a shout out to Nakusa Port Edward State Bank for sponsoring the segment. Always appreciate them doing that. Hey, Jillian, how have things been in Rome?
Good, but yeah. Definitely busy.
Yeah. We got a lot here to talk about today. And we're going to put some focus on some certain things. But otherwise, I want to just start right at the beginning here with this Friday, tomorrow. We've got a great event going on. And every Friday, we got a great event going on.
Yeah. So tomorrow kicks off the summer season or summer edition of our Rome Farmers Market from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. in Rome Town Center or Rome Town Square. Mm-hmm. Come join us for live music, food vendors, crafts, produce, and just a lot of great local goodies that you can't find anywhere else.
It is not only something that people love to do to get out and maybe run into some people and some of those kind of things, but it's a great opportunity to buy local, support local, to help out these vendors, to help out our farmers, our ag industry. Mm-hmm. It's a win-win situation, every farmer's market.
Yeah, definitely.
And keep in mind, I should say, that this is going to be going until September?
Yes, okay. This goes... Well, starting tomorrow and then through end of September.
So something to maybe you can even make a routine out of and on your Fridays do this and everything.
Yeah.
It's a fun thing. Coming up this Saturday, big one going on in the area, spring cleanup.
Yeah, so kind of official, unofficial. Mm. It's time to shake off winter for good and get outside. Thankfully, winter's done. Mm. We'll be holding our annual highway spring cleanup tomorrow from 9 a.m. to noon. Attendees can look forward to a raffle/drawing for a $100 donation for the nonprofit of your choice. So we'll have three of those.
Very cool.
A catered lunch at the gazebo in Rome Town Center, and just enjoying the outdoors because it's warming up. Why not get outside?
Any opportunity to get outside, we are going to take it.
Yes.
The opportunity to put back into your community like this, to clean up your community, to make it look nicer and all these things. I think people want to do those kind of things. I don't know if they always have the foresight or the opportunity to. Mm-hmm. It's a great idea.
Yeah.
You add in the raffle and the drawings. We love raffles around here. Everybody knows that.
Yeah.
That's always a good idea too, and maybe encourage people to do this. But the uniqueness of the donation to a nonprofit, that benefits everybody.
Yeah.
That's like, I mean, the cleanup benefits everybody. People getting outside and enjoying it is great, but then you have the other tie-in of that nonprofit angle. That is a really smart idea. Mm-hmm. I really like that. That is really cool. This is something that I could see being a real tradition, too.
Yeah.
We know that winters are hard on our counties, our roads, our things. Nobody likes seeing garbage on the side of the road. Mm-hmm. This is a great way to help that out and maybe add to a cause at the same time.
Yeah.
I want to spend a minute to talk about Saturday's big event also going on, the 4th Annual Alex C. Dove Foundation Fundraiser.
Yeah.
This is an important event. We've talked about it quite a bit on this week on the air and leading up to this event. Let's take one more time to really put some focus on this.
Yeah, so from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. is the 4th Annual Alex C. Dove Foundation Fundraiser. Come out and support a great local cause. They just have everything going on that day. So live music, raffles, again, raffle, face painting, a tour of the cabin, the spot game, beanbag tournament, a Bloody Mary bar, fair food, and way more than I can really fit in.
Yeah. When they say 10 a.m. to 10 p.m., they mean it. I mean, there is something to do the whole time. It is going to be such a fun time for the community. And while you're enjoying yourself, while you're having a good time, you can also feel good knowing that you are putting into the Dove's Nest.
Mm-hmm.
Dove's Nest is located in the lower Camelot Lake in the town of beautiful Rome. It's the first respite retreat of its kind in the Midwest. The purpose is to offer those suffering from life-threatening illness a free place to rest and relax by the beautiful lake. This fundraiser helps them continue to do this great work.
Mm-hmm.
So not only are you adding to this great foundation, adding to this legacy of Alex and what his family were able to do with this tragedy, which I find one of the most beautiful things in humanity is when you take tragedy and can turn it into something like this.
Mm-hmm.
It's just remarkable. But you're also going to enjoy yourself. You got DJ from 10 to 3. The Shane Cronenberger band's going to be there from 3 to 6. Genesis Depot band from 7 to 10. Raffle going pretty much all day from 10 to 8. Face painting going on, cabin tours, spot game, big bad tournament. Have I caught your attention yet, everybody? I mean, this is the Wisconsin of Wisconsin events.
Yeah.
There's everything, even the food. Bloody Mary bar, cheese curds, taco truck, brats, burgers. I mean, again, Wisconsin, mm-hmm. it's calling you. Get to Rome this weekend. Enjoy this event. Have a blast. Enjoy. Maybe see some people you haven't seen in a while. And again, all of this helping, what a great organization, a great group of people.
Mm-hmm.
That is, again, going from 10 to 10 this weekend, the Alex C. Dove Foundation fundraiser taking place at beautiful on beautiful Leisure Lane on Camelot on the Lake in Nakusa. Keeping things going, every Wednesday you got something for people to look forward to.
Yeah, so every Wednesday at Hoozles at the Lakes, we have DJ Trivia from 7 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. Probably say this every time I'm on here. Really fun to get out, and even if you don't think you're good at trivia,
yeah,
there's always a question or two that you can surprise yourself with.
I think it's good that you brought this up again, Jillian, because I had a listener the last time you guys were in with us mention to me that she's thought she was horrible at trivia, but she got there, and yeah, there's some stuff she doesn't know, but she realized she knows a lot more than she realized.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's actually a good note to mention. We encourage people to attend the event, have fun, and you may find out you know more than you even realize.
Yeah, definitely.
And you can win stuff.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. Like, there's gift cards for first and third place, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
That's
yes,
awesome.
There is.
And people love free things. That's awesome. Yeah. And it's a fun time. You know, giving people something to do is a big part of what this, not only our conversation is about, but what these events are about with Visit Rome and all this supporting businesses and everything.
Yeah.
So every Wednesday from the next Wednesday, May 24th and on, check out DJ Trivia over at our friends at Hoozles at the Lakes. And a big shout out to them. On Fridays and every other Friday, you'll have DJ Bingo.
Yep. So at Hoozles at the Lakes again, 8:30 p.m. to 10:30 p.m. Once again, free to play, raffles, and just fun with Lucas, the host.
Mm-hmm.
He just does a really great job.
Yeah, he's very good at that mm-hmm. stuff. That's a really good to make sure that you're having a good time and enjoying yourself, and it's free to play.
Yeah,
it's just a good time. Just have fun. And there are raffles, I believe.
Yes, there are.
And again, I believe that raffles are pretty popular.
Yeah,
that's a good one to have. Every event pretty much should have a raffle.
Yeah,
you're almost going to guarantee bringing people in. I talk a lot about Lake Camelot. It's the first lake I learned to swim in. It's one of my favorite lakes in the world. I love it. But right next door to it is a beautiful lake of its own, Shermalot, a great area over there. And the Shermalot water ski team has got some pretty cool stuff that they're going to be doing this summer.
Yeah. So starting Saturday, May 27th, and every Saturday through Labor Day weekend, the Shermalot water ski team will be putting on their show. Performances will be held at the Lake Arrowhead Beach area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There will be food served by Rocky Rococo's there. So if you're a big fan of Rocky's, stop on over there.
great food for sure. And they work so hard on this.
They really do.
They put so much time into these events. And water ski is huge here, of course, having the water ski tournament every summer around here, here in Wisconsin Rapids. They train for this. They prepare for this. They work so hard on it. As soon as they are able to get on the water, and in fact, if I understand right, they're even working in the winter at some of this stuff and everything, training in gymnasiums and stuff like that, where they got the room to work on balance and all this. Mm-hmm. You get to take in these shows. You can see previews of these shows and everything. Yeah. And you're supporting that team. You're supporting the great water ski show team, the water ski teams that we have around here as well.
Mm-hmm.
So you can do that every Friday, 6:30 to 7:30, right?
Yeah.
Did I have that right? Yes, yes.
Yes.
And there's so much to do. I want to make sure I cover everything.
Yeah.
Saturday, May 27th, live music coming up at Hoosels at the Lakes.
Yep. 7 to 11, they have Rising Phoenix, Wisconsin's ultimate 70s and 80s rock party band.
Yeah, so they are great.
If you're a 70s or 80s fan, why don't you check them out?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Check them out. Enjoy yourself. Have fun. Live music back. And Hoosels is one of the best places to check live music at.
Yes.
It's such a great venue over there.
We could honestly just make a whole program of all the live music that Hoosels has, let alone Rome has.
Yeah, we can easily do that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe if there's a tie, we got to fill tie. Maybe that's what we'll do. Just talk Hoosels.
Yeah.
No problem. We don't mind doing that here. Great event coming up at Sandhill Wildlife Area on Saturday, May 27th.
Yeah. So Sandhill Wildlife Area, which is just a little bit south of Rome, I believe.
Yeah.
From 10-8. The time I wrote down is wrong. But
oh, yeah?
Oops.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
That's
all right. They'll be having the Universe in the Park event.
Yeah.
So it'll be a nice wide open space to just view the stars, which I know that sometimes when you're in town and it's a clear night, sometimes it's hard to see the stars with all the lights around. This is a nice, I guess, dark, wide open spot to view them. Pre-registration for this event is required before May 24th, so that's coming up soon. And it is $5 per person, so.
And you're not going to be there alone. It looks like UW-Madison astronomers are going to be there. They're presenting the Universe in the Park.
Yes, they are.
That's cool. The astronomers are going to present information and observations about the night sky, the moon, celestial objects, the moon. I love the moon, so I'm just going to keep mentioning the moon. After that, you're invited to attend a star party.
Yes, and at that star party, you'll get a chance to view objects in the sky through telescopes and chat with expert astronomers.
I'm already there. Yeah. I'm already at this event. It sounds like, did you do this just for me? Because it sounds like a perfect, tailored event for myself.
And, surprise. And
really nice. You guys didn't have to do that. That was really nice. I am not alone. There is millions of people, thousands of people out there that would love to attend this event as well, that love looking up at that night sky.
Yeah.
Coming from the city, we got light pollution. We got a lot of that. I never really saw the sky until I moved out here. And I was living in the Rome area.
Yeah.
And living on Lake Camelot and being able to look up. And you truly do get to see the constellations. You truly do. And I think for a lot of people that have grown up out here, you probably are used to that. But it's never a bad idea to remind yourself of how beautiful it is just to look up.
Yeah, definitely.
Let alone with some pros, like some people that really know what they're talking about. You having a UW-Madison astronomer there and everything. That's some legitimacy there. That's pretty cool. So again, this event is taking place next Saturday, May 27th. From we'll get the time later. It may be on the website.
It'll be correct on the website.
Okay, cool. Again, I encourage you to head over to Sandhill Wildlife Area for this event. And you can find out more by going to their website, visitromewi.com, visitromewi.com. The next day, Sunday, May 28th, more live music at Hoosels.
Yep, 7 to 11 again. This time it's Cat's Sass. I had to make sure I said that.
Yeah.
Slow enough.
Yes. Well done, Mike.
They're a blues-based rock band.
Just being honest with the audience, I don't know much about them, but you had me at blues. I love blues. And I know this area loves the blues quite a bit. That's going to be a good concert. That's going to be a lot of fun. Again, that'll be Sunday, May 28th over at Hoozles at the Lakes. And more live music at Hoozles the following Friday as we dive into June. What happened to May?
Yeah.
Just gone. Yeah. But yes, looking at June, got some more live music.
Yeah. So again, 7 to 11 on June 2nd. This time it'll be Save Point, indie rock band.
Yes. Know Jordan and the guys from Save Point a little bit. Great band. Really good artists. All of them are so talented. And Jordan leads that whole thing. Great band. One of those bands, I have a hard time believing anybody couldn't get into their music. Mm-hmm. They're one of those bands where they're going to play something, they're going to do something that's going to bring almost everybody, get them moving.
Yeah.
It's a fun one. We wanted to mention, too, this great event going on at Leicester Public Library of Rome, and a big shout-out to that beautiful library over in Rome, Leicester Public Library, and a paper shredding event coming up.
Yeah, so the free shredding event at Leicester Public Library is being sponsored by both Friends of the Leicester Public Library, Visit Rome, and our Rome Makers HCE. Mm-hmm. You can bring up to 3 boxes or bags per person to be shred on site for free. So if you have a bunch of junk mail or old, I guess, credit card things that you just want to be shredded and out of your hair, why not stop by?
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's 9 a.m. to noon on Saturday, June 3rd.
People take their privacy on a level nowadays that I don't think we've ever seen before. Any time to have these events available to people, I think they're going to take advantage of it.
Yeah.
Saturday, June 3rd, ATV, UTV welcome event. Speaking of things that people will take advantage of, any ATV, UTV event, people are going to show up.
Yes. So this one is hosted by the Monroe Prairie ATV UTV Club, as well as the WATVA. So at this event, you can learn about the trails and road droughts in Adams County. The ride starts across from Quick Trip, the police station parking. So if you're in Rome, right by the big Quick Trip.
It's going to be a fun event. We want people to not only have a good time, have a safe time, enjoy yourselves. And again, any chance to bring out the ATVs, they're going to have fun with this. More live music coming up the first weekend of June, Saturday and Sunday at Hoozles at the Lakes. On Saturday from 7 to 11, got a good band.
Yeah, Steel River Band.
That's a good group. That's a great band right there. And then more great music on Sunday.
Yeah, this time, not the 7 to 11 time. We have it 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. And Scott Wilcox, or is it Wilco?
Yeah, yeah. Well, okay. Wilcox, I believe. Yeah.
Okay.
And good musician. Good local musician. Again, great work by Hoozles and you guys and everybody supporting these local artists and helping promote them. Great job by these artists going out there and taking care of these audiences. Some really good musicians we got coming up. That's going to be fun. Speaking of fun, I want to do this right now, Jillian. Like, I know it's Sunday, June 4th, but can we do it right now? I want to. This sounds like a really fun time. Tell them about this one.
So at at the Lure Bar and Grill on June 4th, we'll be having Kelly Lawler from Blue House Cakery host a summer cookie decorating class from 1 to 3. She will be teaching the basics of cookie decorating, taking you kind of step by step to make them look beautiful. Tickets are $55, and included with that class purchase is a free drink ticket. So you're not just going to be sitting there with cookies. You can have a little drink.
That's good. That's probably helpful. That is.
Yeah.
What a great idea, too.
Yeah.
That's a fun idea. That people are going to enjoy that. They're going to have a lot of fun with
and
that.
And she has a few more classes coming up this summer that I didn't include in the notes. But
we'll get to them when
stay
we get
tuned
closer.
For that. Yeah.
Is this a class you need to register for?
You do.
To register, to send people to the website or?
Go to our website, which is visitromewi.com, and go to our calendar. Otherwise, if you look up Blue House Cakery on, I believe, just Google or even Facebook, she should have links to the registration right there.
Again, more live music at Hoozles coming up Thursday, June 8th, and every Thursday through June 27th. as we have live music there from 7 to 11, performances every Thursday from talent throughout the state leading up to the finale on June 7th, 27th. We're doing Hoosel's Rise to Music.
Yes, and that is
what we're talking about here. And we're looking forward to this event. We're going to give you more details as us and Hoosel's are working out some of the details of this, but looking very forward to this event and bringing it back to the community. Moving on to Saturday, June 10th. Ooh, hiking stick event. What is this one?
Yeah, so at Sandhill Wildlife Area from 8:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. I don't know if you've ever used a hiking stick while hiking, but they're pretty cool.
Yeah.
And you can actually make your own at this event. Mm. So they Friends of Sandhill will be providing natural hardwood sticks.
Nice.
And you can decorate them. And this is pretty much open to anyone, any age.
Yeah, even if you're 12 and you make a walking stick, you might need it when you're 42.
Yeah,
I mean, you might end up needing that stick one day or something. So they make it for a relative or something like that. You may be making an heirloom. You know,
yeah.
I know in my family, there's been a couple of canes and walking sticks that have been handed down, things like that. I just don't know. And it's fun. Like, when's the last time you did something like this, anybody? Like,
yeah,
never get the chance to do these kind of things. It's a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
So it does look like there is an age limit. Young participants under 12 years old must have be accompanied by an adult.
Yeah.
So keep that in mind, everybody. Otherwise, this is going to be a fun one. And it looks like Vicky's doing this.
Yes. Vicky Palin is.
Very cool.
There are two sessions. So the first session is 8:30 to noon, and the other session is 1 to 4:30. And there is a pre-registration.
Okay.
So pre-register before June 6th, along with a $5 registration.
Yeah, and you can find out more by giving Vicky a call at 715-652-3131. That's 652-3131. I really would like to attend that, actually. Yeah. That sounds like a lot of fun. I like that one. And like this one right, too. We love our dice runs. We got one coming up.
Mm-hmm. So June 10th, Saturday, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., will be our big...
big dice event.
Big dice event.
It begins and ends at Bighorn Bar and Grill, so that right away is going to get some people.
Mm-hmm. So the run will consist of 20 or more predetermined stops, so you visit those on your ATV. Mm-hmm. You must visit a minimum of 3, and at each stop, participants have to get their scorecard stamped. When you return to the event at Bighorn Bar and Grill, your scorecard then gets converted into the number of dice you roll, and the dots on those dice equal your total score.
Yeah.
So cash prizes for the first and second high rollers, plus cash prize for the low roller. So if you luck out with getting all ones on all your dice, hey, you might be getting money anyway.
Again, people love it. They love being out and about and being able to do those kind of things. And then you add in the dice game and all that. You got yourself a good time.
Yeah.
So, Jillian, we're going to wrap up here in the next couple of minutes. But I know by your notes, there was an event we wanted to put some focus on. We wanted to take a little time talking about.
Yeah. So let's jump all the way ahead to, mid-June.
Yeah.
when we have the annual Tri-Norse Mini Mudder going on at Tri-Norse Winter Park, which is 1001 County Road O in Rome. If you've ever heard of or done a Tough Mudder, this is kind of like a nice scaled down version for the kids. So a nice little obstacle course around the property at Tri-Norse. You will get dirty, so probably don't wear your Sunday best. It is $25 per child, and that will include a t-shirt as well.
Cool.
Waivers to be signed day of event, just making sure if you get a little scrape, you're not.
We want to make sure that everybody's having a good time, but also covered legally. You got to kind of do that with an event like this, especially involving little guys.
Yes.
But it is going to be fun.
It is. We hope to get definitely more people than we did last year and just keep growing that event each and every year.
Yeah. as a parent, I'm putting my kid in this immediately if they want to do it, of course.
Yeah.
You know, my little guy or my little girl wanted to do it, immediately put him in there. Mm-hmm. As a community member, I have to see this event. I have to see these kids going through these obstacle courses. Mm-hmm. Any of us that grew up on Double Dare or any of those kind of things, like, we're a sucker for this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Especially when it comes to little kids going through obstacle courses.
Oh, it is. And some of the kids get really into it.
Yeah,
where you can see some that just go kind of nicely through, but then you get one or two that have to do it the fastest.
Yes,
and they're racing each other and slipping and sliding, and it's definitely fun.
Such a fun event. Be sure to bookmark your calendars, everybody. That is coming up on June 17th over at beautiful Tri-Norris, the annual Tri-Norris Mini Mudder. This is going to be a lot of fun. A big shout out to Rome Fire Department as well for being there and helping with these showers and that kind of thing.
Yes.
That is very cool. We always like to shout out our fire departments as well.
Yeah.
And of course, want to shout out you guys and the great work that you do over at Visit Rome, Jillian. It has been a real fun time hanging out with you here.
Yeah, thank you.
I did want to remind people that you guys have a great newsletter. Be sure to sign up for that newsletter. It's a great way to keep up to date on all the great things going on in the Rome area. And Jillian, if people have follow-up questions, want to know more, how can they get in contact with you?
Yeah, you can either call us at 715-325-3090, or feel free to reach out to us via email. So either my personal one, which is jalekna at visitromewi.com, or just visitromewi@gmail.com.
Yeah. And again, that website, visitromewi.com. Thanks for the time, Jillian. We'll talk again next month.
Yeah, thank you.
And we want to send a big shout out, of course, to our friends at Nakusa Port Edward State Bank, sponsoring the segment. Big thank you to them and a good morning to all of them. We'll take a break and come back, and we'll have more fun as we have Allison John Jack joining us, Cranberry Outreach Specialist, be with us in the next next segment of Morning Magazine here at WFHR.
Nakusa Port Edward State Bank is your locally owned, full-service community bank in Nakusa, Port Edwards, and the town of Rome. Since 1913, they've been helping area communities, businesses, and individuals with their financial needs, and are happy to sponsor these What's Happening in Rome live discussions. Hope you enjoy the updates. Everyone at Nakusa Port Edward State Bank is proud to be part of these exciting developments in the town of Rome. Remember, when in Rome, bank at Nakusa Port Edward State Bank. Member Equal Housing Lender, FDIC Insured.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
It's time to turn Fridays into Fri-yays with WFHR.HiveOffDeal.com. You'll find deals for spots around town like restaurants, spas, and more.
This Friday at 8 a.m., you'll save 50% on another great local business.
This week's deal is from Becky's Sugar Shack Bakery and Cafe. Get a $50 gift card for just $25. That's right, $50 for just $25. From sweet treats to five-star Italian beefs. Becky's Sugar Shack Bakery and Cafe in Adams Friendship.
Save this Friday at 8 a.m. at WFHR.HiveOffDeal.com.
It's Terry time.
Hey, it's Steven.
And Katrina from Family Natural Foods.
We are excited to have Terry Lemeron from Terry Naturally here at our store.
Really? Terry is back? When?
Wednesday, May 24th at 5:15.
What's he talking about?
Terry will be presenting on natural medicines that are better than drugs.
Will there be a sale?
Yes, our biggest sale ever that night on Terry products.
Wow, when is he coming?
Wednesday, May 24th at 5:15 here at Family Natural Foods in Wisconsin Rapids.
We hope to see you there.
So, have you done sports?
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Slight chance for scattered thunderstorms this afternoon. Otherwise, cloudy skies expected. High temperatures reach up to 74. South winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Isolated thunderstorms likely. Tonight, lows dip down to about 50. Cloudy skies expected. Cloudy skies expected again tomorrow. Highs level off around 60. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 53.
Good morning, and welcome back to The Morning Magazine. It's time for part two.
Yeah. Welcome, everyone, to Morning Magazine, part two for this May 18th, 2023. It is 10:33 on the clock. Have your host, James, behind the mic. I am joined right now by Allison John Jack Cranberry, Outreach Specialist with UW-Madison Extension Wood County. Good morning, Allison.
Good morning, James. Good to hear from you.
You too. How you been?
Pretty wonderful. It is, I go longer spells between being on the radio than a lot of my colleagues, but there's a lot of road travel, and we have just started the spring trial season. So I'm doing good and doing a lot of traveling.
Yeah, I can imagine, especially with what you cover and everything. And while we don't get to talk to you as much as we'd like to, we always appreciate the time, Allison, especially on a topic like this. You know, cranberries, I got some breaking news for Wisconsinites. Pretty big in this state. Pretty big. Pretty big a topic. So it is great to have somebody who really knows what they're talking about on the air with us here, Allison. Let's dive right into things. There are spring and summer cranberry grower outreaches going on we want to talk about.
Yeah. So some of the things, and I am happy to talk about both what I do as the outreach specialist for cranberry growers and also to talk about, kind of public education about cranberries. So if I'm going too in-depth about cranberry agronomy, feel free to pull me back and say, hey, tell us what that looks like. I always appreciate those pulls.
You got it.
For April, when our ice was just melting, obviously it was a really slow spring this year. As our ice was just melting, we started to be able to bring the growers together and resume education about what it's like when cranberry vines come out of dormancy. We talked a lot about, we actually had a practicum hands-on. We brought microscopes and had growers bring in their own buds. And then we dissected the buds in person to look at the flower primordia, so the little itty-bitty nubs that are going to turn into the flowers for the next year. So we had growers practicing, checking their buds for winter damage, and also to count how many flowers they thought they would have per bud. So that was a fun project. We also had refreshers on some of our early season weed protection and on dissolved oxygen. So when we have winter floods or spring floods, sometimes people will use spring floods to try to basically drown a few bugs, kind of reduce our insect populations in a natural way. And we always want to be careful to keep dissolved oxygen at levels where the plants are still healthy. So we focused on those topics this spring. And again, feel free to...
This is the problem, Allison, is that I enjoy hearing you too much talk about these things, and I love learning, and I don't know that much about cranberry. I don't know much about the ag industry, or not the ag industry, but specifically cranberries, cranberry growing, a lot of this, so I'm learning like a lot of the audience with this, so I'm not going to be able to shut you up. I'm just going to be glued to every word you say. When it comes,
guide me in favorite direction.
I will try to. I will do my best. When it comes to that, what I'm curious about is, because this research seems very important, and it seems like a great opportunity to be able to have it, the research in a kind of refined way. Like, it's not out in the open in the real world. This is research that's being done more in lab, more in a building, that kind of thing. Correct?
We actually have both types.
It is okay.
The jargon is there's theoretical research and there's applied research. And so we have in the labs at Madison research that is how do cranberry buds perform, what are they using, we know by now what they're using oxygen for, but when we look at the different hormones that the plant produces over the growth cycle, what is each of those hormones actually doing? And so those are kind of the theoretical research questions. And then also we'll do things like take soil samples that are like right next to the roots of ericoid species in the wild. So that's cranberries, and then the cranberries cousins are the blueberries and the brownbush or leatherleaf and Labrador tea. And so we've got grad students basically doing kind of higher level, it doesn't reach to the growers immediately, taking censuses of what kind of microbes, what bacteria and what fungi are growing in partnership with cranberry roots and with blueberry roots. So those kinds of things are very lab focused and, Madison based, and we'll have, it'll take 10 to 15 years to get a research project on that style completed, but we also always have ongoing applied research. And those are things that the growers are, you know, directly asking, hey, when I have, and I use the words like Stevens and Mullica Queen in the way you would use like apples like Golden Delicious or Granny Smith. So the varieties, if I have a Stevens bud and it is, when they come out of dormancy, they start as a very tight bud and then they swell to what we call cabbage head. And then they go into elongation and then roughneck and then hook. So if we say I've got a Stevens variety, a Stevens bud at cabbage head phase, how cold can I let that get before I'm doing damage? And I have a Mullica Queen bud at cabbage head stage. How cold can I let that get without doing damage? And each of those varieties have a different answer. And so that's applied research. So our, for example, our physiologist, Amaya Atucha, will have a couple of students who are taking buds and putting them in the freezer to various temperatures and taking them out of the freezer and cutting them open and seeing if, you know, did that get damaged? So they can tell growers, you know, for this one, you know, for this variety at this growth stage, it's going to be hardy down to 16 degrees Fahrenheit, for example. So we have both theoretical and applied research going on all the time.
Which is important. And I, again, like Allison said, you know, we don't want to get caught up in the weeds. We don't want to get bogged down. That was bad. That was bad. I apologize for that pun. I did not mean to do that. But to get caught up in it. But it is... It's valuable information that you're sharing because all this, anytime we're eating a cranberry, anytime we're enjoying these things, buying cranberries, anything like that, I think we understand, hey, we're putting back into this state. Hey, we're helping our ag industry in this state. Hiring this kind of information is another part of that. It's not just enough. I don't think it's not just enough to buy these products, understanding all the work that it goes into to make them taste so good to before we even get them on our plates or anything.
Yeah, and I really like, I think it's pretty great. Wisconsin, we grow 60% of the world's cranberry supply each year comes from Wisconsin. I think last year it was 62%, but it's, you know, above 60. And not only do we have cranberry farmers and the people who sell cranberry farmers fertilizer and the people who help us make irrigation lines and the people who help us make culverts, but also a bunch of researchers, you know, kind of mainly in the cities, but where there are universities, we have a bunch of researchers and grad students, and there's another, you know, another couple hundred jobs that are cranberry industry focused that you don't really think about immediately when you see, you drive by the marsh and you say, oh, that's really cool. You don't realize that we are also the top state in cranberry research. And so there's all of that world as well.
Yeah, that's a really nice part of it, this that we don't always get to put a focus on. So touching on that like we are today and a little bit more, research trials for cranberry growers, a little bit more about that maybe? Because I find that interesting too.
Me too. And that's, I was in Nakusa yesterday, and then today I'm over in Milston placing stakes for product screening, basically. So if we're trying to find out how to control insects or control rot, I have little replicated research trials, and I go out with my little backpack CO2 sprayer, and I put out trial plots. So when growers say, hey, am I going to have better results with this if I apply just as my am I going to have better results if I make my applications timed by counting sweeps, or am I going to have better results if I time my application by the growing degree days? I can have those answers for them. And it's also really rewarding to be out on growers' marshes because a lot of growers collaborate with us on that research and let me host trials there. So I always really appreciate that.
Yeah, that's, I can hear it in your voice. Yeah, you really like that, which is fun. It's cool. But all this ties together. We don't get those great cranberries, and Wisconsin doesn't get that great economic boost from cranberries and selling them throughout the world without this data, without this research to go into, without these trials.
Yes. We are always proud to be, you know, cutting edge. And if there are, I'm very proud of Madison in particular for being so grower-led. in what kind of research we do. So every year we have a research roundtable when the growers come and say, here's a question I didn't have the answer to this year that would help me be a better farmer. Here is a number that I want, you know, that I can guess, but I want you to solve it and find out for real. And then they let the researchers, you know, apply for their grants and do research based on exactly what those growers are asking for. And I think that that is absolutely the best model of research possible, like asking the users, what information do you need? And then getting them that information. It works really well.
You know, Allison, I'm reminded of a former colleague of yours, Rachel, and talking with her about, again, not knowing the ag industry that well or farming that well. It was just a beautiful, cool thing to me to hear about how much more, you know, going forward, farmers are sharing of information. The ag industry is sharing of information. It's, well, this is working on my soil. This could help yours and that kind of thing. So these roundtables, not only do they make our food better, but they make our ag industry stronger. Our state stronger. Is that the way you've seen it?
I have seen that. I remember, you know, in the prior generations, if you ask my dad, oh, how is your crop this year? He's always going to answer average, whether it was actually good or actually poor. He's always going to say average. As we move forward and we learn that there's just too many possible things to know, and we want to learn them faster rather than slower, it turns out that sharing information winds up letting people all kind of raising the bar for everybody, lets everyone become a more effective farmer. And so you see people sharing in ways that maybe wasn't necessarily the default way the culture was 50 years ago, but the fact that it is now lets us get better faster, and it's very heartwarming to me.
Yeah. Speaking with Allison Johnjack, Cranberry Outreach Specialist with UW-Madison Extension, Wood County. We're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll come back, talk a little bit about cranberry pollinators and some more on Morning Magazine at WFHR Locally Grown Radio.
Trucks, trucks, trucks. Home Furniture and Design has truck after truck arriving daily with loads of Lazy Boy furniture. Come in and find a genuine Lazy Boy recliner, sofa, sectional, or power chair to kick back and relax and take it home with you today. The best recliner available in the world at amazing low prices. And you can pick it out and take it with you today at Home Furniture and Design, West Grand Avenue, Wisconsin Rapids, and Post Road in Plover.
It's time to turn Fridays into Fry-yays with WFHR. Not have off deal.com. You'll find deals for spots around town like restaurants, spas, and more. This Friday at 8 a.m., you'll save 50% on another great local business.
This week's deal is from Becky's Sugar Shack Bakery and Cafe. Get a $50 gift card for just $25. That's right, $50 for just $25. From sweet treats to five-star Italian beefs. Becky's Sugar Shack Bakery and Cafe in Adams Friendship.
Save this Friday at 8 a.m. at WFHR.halfoffdeal.com.
What's your favorite thing about a good movie? What makes the perfect song? And what's it about the first lines of a book that will snatch our attention? If these questions intrigued your artsy interest, you don't want to miss Director's Cut on WFHR every Sunday night from 8 to 9. Your WFHR program director, James, and head of production, Seth, will be diving into the local arts and entertainment, hot topic movies, hidden gems, and more. Audience feedback and requests are encouraged for this fun and open conversation about art in all its forms. It's artists supporting artists in their own words.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR.
Highs level off around 73 this afternoon under overcast skies with a slight chance for scattered thunderstorms. Winds out of the south, 10 to 15 miles per hour. Isolated thunderstorms likely tonight. Lows level off around 50. Cloudy skies expected. Overcast skies tomorrow. Highs level off around 60.
For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 59.
Welcome back, everybody, to Morning Magazine here on WFHR for this May 18th, 2023. 10:48 on the clock. We're speaking with Allison Johnjack, Cranberry Outreach Specialist with UW-Madison Extension, Wood County. Allison, again, thanks for joining us.
Glad to be here.
We're going to talk a little bit about cranberry pollinators right now. And again, another one of those topics I don't think is that common knowledge. I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah, so there are, I think there's some level of pollinator information that's just kind of always in the groundwater that everyone is aware that We care a lot about pollinators. We rely on them for a lot of our favorite foods. Cranberry growers also especially rely on them because our, unlike, you know, corn can be pollinated by the wind, cranberries need to be pollinated by insect pollinators. And so when you heard in the news almost a decade ago, I guess, about when they were having pollinator health crises, that was a really big deal to cranberry growers. And we, along with the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection, so DATCAP, put a lot of effort into helping keep our pollinators healthy. It's important for us. If you look at the shape of a cranberry blossom, it is kind of shaped like a crane's head, and the pollen is way deep up inside the flower. And so honeybees have to go, you know, deep in, or bumblebees can sit on the outside of the flower and buzz their wings really hard to make the pollen shake out so that they can carry it from flower to flower as they pursue the nectar. We have, you know, basically because we are totally reliant on that, we go through a bunch of extra colony health checks. If colonies, well, why don't I start a little further back? We can be pollinated by, you know, sweat bees or, you know, dark green bees or any of the kinds of bees. But the most common ones are honeybees, which are popular because they also make honey, and then also bumblebees, which are starting to be used more and more because they work in cooler temperatures, whereas honeybees, we kind of think of honeybees as like divas where they'll only come out on perfect afternoons. Mm-hmm. The bumblebees will start working in the mornings, and the bumblebees won't mind if it's a little bit cloudy. So we a lot of times we'll see marshes either rent honeybees or buy bumblebees in addition to helping out their wild pollinator, the wild pollinators that are inherent to the marsh.
Go ahead
and ask questions.
Any growers also have bee farms as well nearby? Just it seems like it's easy for me to say that. It seems like a lot more work to have that along with also doing the cranberry bogging, but there seems to be a connection there.
There definitely is a connection there, and you do see several growers that keep bees as well. A lot of times the limiting factor on that is if you have an extra person, maybe an extra family member, who has the time and ability to do the bees, because you're processing honey at about the same time as you're harvesting cranberries. And obviously harvesting cranberries is the busiest time of the year. So there are families that have somebody who also, you know, somebody who's in charge of the bees. But there are also a lot of growers who set up a partnership with a beekeeper, and then the beekeeper will bring the bees to the cranberry marsh for the late period of June, after, and then they were in the strawberry beds before that, and then they'll go to cranberries, and they'll move on to, you know, cucumbers or other fruits that benefit from pollinators. So a lot of times that partnership with a local beekeeper winds up being a good way for us to save labor in that precious October month.
Yeah, yeah. A little help with all of that work that our friends the bees give us.
Absolutely. We're so grateful for it.
It's become very popular in here in Rapids. Of course, we celebrate it quite a bit. No Mo May. We talk about this, and the importance of it is not just to give you a break on your give your back a break from mowing, which is nice, but it's to help our bees, to help our pollinators, to create more of them. That has an economic impact. You may not think of it that way, but it does. It you know, we have more bees, we have more pollinators, we have more agriculture, we have more better products, better crops, all of these things. It all ties together.
Yep, pollinators are one of those really, like, I think they're very popular in the media, right, because it's just this very obvious symbol of something that ties literally everything together. You have all of the communities and all the ecosystems kind of rest on the shoulders of these pollinators. The No Mo May, especially because bees are, if you think of how our, summer pollen season or flower season works, bees are not that interested in tree pollen. Because nectar is what they're really after. We get plenty of tree pollen early in the spring. And then in the summer, there are many, many, many flowers that bees can visit and take nectar from. But in that early spring season, there's not as many flowers blooming. Once the lilacs set in, there's enough there for them to be able to sustain. But before we get to the lilacs, you know, there's just a couple of hepatica and a couple of trilliums, and there's not a lot there. So every little bit helps them have an earlier season food source. So that's part of the reason they chose me for that.
Hmm. Are there other things that we can do, you know, no matter where, even if you don't live necessarily next to a cranberry marsh or near one, that we can do to help out our growers?
So obviously helping out growers comes in a lot of forms.
Hmm.
Buying cranberries and eating cranberries, of course, is one very favored one. But
done.
Also,
doing it. I can do that. Yes. We can do that one.
We also really are grateful for the support that we get at the, you know, the Cranberry Festival and the Cranberry Blossom Festival. In those times, because having support from our local, our community members helps when we have, when we've got things that we need to get accomplished, being able to say, hey, the cranberry growers are our good neighbors. We're glad to have them in the community is always, you know, really beneficial. So I'm trying to think of, helping out your pollinators, buying, especially Wisconsin cranberries, but buying cranberries. It's also great for us when you purchase locally produced honey also. That helps our beekeepers out, and that helps us out. And, you know, it's easy to, you know, look at the shelf and say, here's the basic one that came from who knows where. And then here's the one in the glass jar that came from down the street. And that's usually a guy down the street, and they're really glad to get your business. So love those as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then also working with, if you feel called, if you're the person who has enough free time to help serve on town boards or other committees that can help when people are talking about, how do we use the best, how do we make the best use of the resources of our communities? Giving your time there helps the community as a whole, and therefore also helps cranberry growers.
Really good answer, Allison. I didn't think about that part about being on boards and everything. That's a really good idea. And the comment about our honey, I hadn't even thought of that, even though we were just talking about it. I wouldn't have made that connection and everything. That's really cool. I appreciate that. We got about 4 or 5 minutes left. If you don't mind, and I don't want to put you on the spot, but I would like to, I went to do some research for our conversation today, and I found this website, fruitwisc.edu. That's fruit.wisc.edu. It's has a bunch of the latest cranberry news and resources on it. It's Wisconsin Fruit. On here, I found a number of different articles, but one I just came across the other day, this report about feral Andean blueberry, the American cranberry hybrids. I just want to talk about hybrids in general, if that's all right with you, because I find that fascinating. I find it very interesting, especially in today's culture where no matter what we're talking about, there's mashups. There's combinations. We're doing more and more of that than we've ever done, whether it's in music or entertainment or in our food. With a limited amount of time, of course, what does this all involve? And what do you find is the interesting part about hybrids and doing that work? Did I lose Allison? Did I lose her? We lost her. We lost the connection. I think I had a good question, too. Or did I stump you, Allison? And she just couldn't handle it. No, Allison wouldn't do that. Allison, let's see here if she can join us for the last couple of minutes or not. If not, that website I was talking about, that article is fantastic and could be really interesting, I think, to a lot of people out there. I encourage you to check that out. Again, it's the first report. That's the first couple lines of it. It's right away there up there when you pull up the website, fruit.wisc.edu. Go ahead and check that out. And might find out some really interesting information going on with our cranberry industry, not just about cranberries, but about these hybrids that are going on, blueberry, cranberry hybrids, all kinds of different things that they're working on to go along with, of course, the great cranberries that we have for sale in this state. And Allison brought up a really good point. Cranberries are great. We're not talking bad about any other cranberry growers in any other states or anything like that. But let's be honest, we're doing this show from Wisconsin. We support local. So when you are looking for ways to support your growers, support our ag industry, support our farmers, there is farmers markets all the time, all summer long, no matter where you're listening to us. There are farmer markets available. Encourage you to attend those. those, check those out. And when you're in the store and you're looking at all these different options that you got, because there's a billion options for everything nowadays. You cannot go to the store to just find one thing. There's a billion opportunities for a million things there. You're going to see a lot of different cranberries out there. Look for that Made in Wisconsin label. It's a green label. It's right there for you. It lets you know that not only are you buying probably the most tasty product you can buy, but you're also buying something that is going to keep the money in this state, that is going to help support locals, help our ag industry right here in this state. Encourage you to do that, everybody. We are going to go ahead and wrap up the show here, but I do want to thank our guests. A big thank you, of course, to Jillian Alekna for joining us from Visit Rome. Appreciate the time from Jillian. And Allison, I know I'm sorry we got cut off there. I don't know what happened, but I do want to thank Allison John Jack for joining us, Cranberry Outreach Specialist with UW-Madison Extension Wood County. Always appreciate the time from our guests, even if they get cut off. Even if that happens, that's all right. We got great stuff lined up for you. We're going to wrap up the week of Morning Magazine tomorrow. Going to be a great one. We're going to kick it off with Senator Patrick Teston joining us. Looking forward to that. Always an open and fun conversation with Senator Teston to look forward to. That is going to be fun, and we'll have some more great stuff joining us. So be sure to be here tomorrow right at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, where we are locally grown radio.